We may turn then to the chapter of God's Word that we have read in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 13, and we can read again from verse 34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets, the stones that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as the hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. So on. First of all, we may notice the address here being given, and the one who is addressing Jerusalem. Secondly, that the response, or the historical response, of Jerusalem to the prophets who were sent by God to instruct them, and then the desire and the sentiment expressed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and how often will I gather together thy children as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings. And the response received to these warm and heartfelt sentiments, they would not. They were not willing, they were not ready, they were not disposed to respond in a positive way to his entreaties concerning mercy and loving kindness and forgiveness. So here, the Lord Jesus Christ is one of these persons, one of the company, although the greatest of the company who were sent to mankind, to Jerusalem first of all, to the Jews, and others also, true prophets were sent by God to address the souls of the people and to bring them to repentance. But the response was negative. Here he is addressing Jerusalem, the city of peace, the city of his solemnities, the place where God established the temple and temple worship and the sacrifices and all the ordinances of God under the Old Testament dispensation. That dispensation which has now passed away, being replaced by the New Testament dispensation, the baptism replacing circumcision, and the Lord's Supper replacing the Passover. We have been witnessing today the great goodness of God and his mercy and loving kindness. There were those who came to his table to remember his death in accordance with his dying command. This do ye in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And there was a showing forth of the Lord's death by these events. And there is every time the communion season takes place. There is a visible manifestation of the way of salvation, the gospel of Christ, the giving and receiving of bread and wine in his name, pointing to that giving of himself and of the Father, giving the Son to sinful, guilty, hell-deserving creatures, and his being broken, his body being broken, his blood being shed to be the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And that you are being engaged, some of you, this day, showing forth the Lord's death until he come. And every time the Lord's Supper takes place, there is a witness, a very powerful witness. We not only have the preaching of the word, but also the visible and the tangible giving and receiving of bread and wine, which manifests the same salvation by these visible and tangible means, so that there is a literal tasting, a literal seeing that God is good and who trusts in Him is blessed, as well as a spiritual seeing, and we are called by God Himself and by Christ, or taste and see that God is good, who trusts in Him is blessed. And the question for you on your way to eternity, to the judgment seat of Christ, where you and all of us must give account of our deeds which we have done in the body, how do we stand in view of these things? There was a separation made between those who profess the name of Christ and those who do not. Not that the believing, professing persons look down on others, very far from it. But their language is such as is desirous of seeing many others come from the north and the south and the east and the west to sit down in the kingdom of God. So it was here. We're reading of these great things in this particular chapter, that when the gospel came first, it came to the Jews. It came to those in Jerusalem. It came to those in Galilee. It came to all parts of the land of Israel, to the Jewish nation, to the church of God. It came afterwards to all the world. And Jesus called his disciples together and commanded them, saying, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And that is the duty of the Church of Christ in all ages, to be complying with this command, passed down through the generations, and the prayers and desires of the Lord's people are towards the salvation of their fellow men. For this is our duty and our privilege, to love our neighbour as ourselves. And our neighbours have never dying souls. They are precious, never dying souls on their way to eternity. And we tend to live, to come and go about our duties and our concerns and our business, oftentimes not thinking about the weight and seriousness of these great matters, and how if one soul is saying there is rejoicing in heaven. As one of the old servants of Christ said in Scotland long ago, "One soul from Anmouth would meet me at God's right hand. My heaven would be two heavens in Emmanuel's land." And when one person is born again, then there is rejoicing in heaven. The angels and the spirits have just been made perfect. It seems to have a knowledge of these things which take place in the world. And the question for you and for me is, do we really have a love to our own souls as we journey to eternity? What are we doing with Christ, with Jesus, who is called Christ? What are we doing with that salvation which He has wrought, with these wonderful promises and mercies which are set before us? And here we see Jesus calling to the city of His solemnities, to the city of Jerusalem, the heartland of the Jews, the capital city of the Jewish nation, and the centre and heart of the Church of God in ancient times. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem." He repeats the name of the city, evidently is expressing his heartfelt sorrow over their rejection and their coldness, and their refusal to hear the voice of one that challenged them would. And you are here tonight, and this is the call to you. And he calls in the same fashion, in the same heartfelt sentiment, that the Church of God, the Church of Christ, visible, would be brought to a spiritual and saving experience and knowledge of Himself. Jerusalem, the Jews, represented the visible church. They were the visible church in these times. And they were given many privileges, centuries and centuries of blessings, and prophets, and godly men being sent, God-fearing persons being raised up to be sent and to teach them, to preach to them, to warn them, to encourage them, and to bring them to God, and they would not hear the voice, well, these voices which were sent to them in mercy and loving kindness. So Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets. What was taking place in Jerusalem? Well, what has been taking place among ourselves? The ornaments of the Lord's Supper, the place of solemnities, spiritual solemnities, and the way of salvation, the word of God being preached, invitations being sent and given, calls to repentance, and exhortations to strive to enter in at the straight gate, for straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Broad is the way that leads down to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And we have a narrow way set before us. And it may be that yourselves, or some of you at least, like Jerusalem of old, are not disposed to labour for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Because the way seems to be difficult or hard, or somewhat onerous. But no, the way, the yoke of Christ is easy and his burden is light. And we should put away our prejudice and our opposition to these things and be ready and willing to hear what God the Lord shall speak, for to his folk he will speak peace. There have been many who have gone from this place into God's heavenly kingdom. Examples persons who have left their footsteps, their experiences on record, and have journeyed, some of them with you, and have spoken. You may remember speaking to persons who are now in heaven. And you can say, surely and certainly, I do believe that this, my former, my late friend, or late mother or father, or neighbour, is now with the Lord, which is far better. And there were times and seasons when things were sent to the benefit of souls and spiritual benefit and spiritual enlightenment. And what are we doing with all these privileges? How many persons in different parts of the earth, different parts of the country, who have no knowledge whatsoever, no understanding, no idea of the way of salvation, no experience of meeting with the Lord's people, no experience of hearing the testimony and the experience and the belief and the things that they have been able to say from their own particular soul's experience, and many people, most people perhaps, have not been exposed to such spiritual benefits as we. Likewise, Jerusalem, and Jesus then seeing this city and weeping over it, and looking down now upon the church of God visible and the places where the gospel has been preached and where his death has been kept in remembrance and shown forth till he come, what do these things mean? And you may be here tonight and without Christ and yet not having come yet to be born again or passed from death to life and never been changed spiritually, regenerated, come to a sense of sin and conviction and forgiveness and relief and God's mercy and loving kindness. And this is a matter of sorrow, because now is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Now is the season. And we are not to put off till tomorrow or the next day or the next day the closing in, our duty to close in with Christ Jesus in the everlasting God, to be stretching out his arms all day long to a disobedient and gainsaying people. Can we say that he has any different sentiment? Is he not the same yesterday, today, and forever? And here he is addressing the Jewish church. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. You might well say, O Stornoway, Stornoway, how often would I have gathered you gathers the chicks, a brood under her wings, and you will not. How often has the gospel been preached? How many God sent ministers have been preaching in this place, in this town, over the years, going back? Wherever they may have been, whatever the church they may have been laboring in, there were those in different eras and different times, and they were no doubt God-fearing persons, and they came with a message from heaven: believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. What was he seeing? He was seeing Jerusalem going down on the broad way. The broad way that leads to destruction. There is a broad way and there is a narrow way. The narrow way leads unto life, and the broad way leads down unto destruction. There are only two ways. There's no middle way, there's no third way, just the two ways. The way which is narrow and leads unto life, and the way which is broad which leads down unto death. Eternal. The narrow way which is bound up with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the way that we are called to work and to seek to enter in. Narrow ways and narrow gates are not so easy to navigate as broad ways and wide ways and so forth. And remember that there was this history in this area where we live, over on the west coast, in Loch Hugh, during the Second World War. There was a loch, Loch Hugh, and it was the place where the Russian convoys were gathered together, and they were sent with munitions and food and supplies to sustain Russians against the German advance and attack and assault. And these convoys mustered before they sailed for Russia in Loch Hugh. And there was a net, a steel heavy net, anti-submarine net across the mouth, the narrow mouth of the loch. And one night in the winter time, in stormy weather, an American Liberty ship was aiming to join the convoy. And the entrance of the loch in bad weather was difficult to find. Perhaps they didn't have such technical instruments that people now have to assist in navigation. And the weather was closing in, the snow was falling, the wind was blowing, and the sea was raging. And the ship missed the narrow entrance and went to ground and hit the rocks. And 54 men died. I think it was 54 anyway. It was not an easy thing to find that entrance in that weather. And so in spiritual things also, when there are adversities, and when the winds of adversity blow and all kinds of temptations come the way, the narrow way, the entrance into heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, is obscured, and we don't have him before us as clearly as at other times. Communion seasons are times when Jesus Christ is lifted up, and he says, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And who among us can say that we have not been drawn Christ at this communion season? You are here tonight and you have been at many services, perhaps hundreds over the years, and many services, a number of services at this communion season, where Christ has been set before you, evidently crucified, and invitations issued in the name and authority and according to the will and purpose of the mighty God of Jacob. That is a great privilege. And surely, as Jesus wept over the souls of his people in Jerusalem, he will be weeping also when he sees and hears and he understands that the entreaties and invitations of the gospel are not being embraced sincerely and fervently with all the heart and mind and soul, and when people who are under the gospel are being called, and he has called you, and who can say he has not been called? And what are we doing with these calls, these invitations? Do we recognize the authority of the one who stood and wept over Jerusalem and stood and cried, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem"? The language indicates a fervent, heartfelt desire and pity an understanding of the state and the nature of things. That Jerusalem, the souls, there were precious souls in Jerusalem, and there still are. And that people, the Jewish nation, is still there. And they've returned in recent years in God's providential mercy to their own land and their millions. Something like 7 or 8 million Jews concentrated in one ancient, their ancient homeland are there for the most part, and a large number of them, the bulk of the nation, still refusing, rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Although we know very well that the day will come that all Israel shall be saved, and our nation shall be raised up, and wonderful things done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be a witness in all the world to the way of salvation which he has purchased with his own blood. The day has not yet come, and surely he's looking down still upon that people, but also upon us, because we are more privileged than they. They, because of their leadership, their rabbis, and their teachings, have been blinded to the freeness and the fullness of the everlasting gospel, and the willingness of God to give, and to give grace. Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Although we know very well, as we read there in Romans chapter 11, that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance, that he will not change. He tells us in that same chapter in verse 26, "There shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and he shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." And that's a reference to Isaiah chapter 59, where the prophecy occurs. The fact that the Jews are to be saved by Christ Jesus is intimated by the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah was one of those prophets who were sent by God, he came to the Jewish people with reasons. "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, and though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And is he not calling you and me to reason with him? What a privilege is there to be seen in the advances and in the approaches of the eternal God, the mighty God of Jacob, the maker of heaven and earth, to sinful worms of the dust, like as we are. He is stretching out his arms, Christ stretching out his arms all day long to a disobedient and a gainsaying people. And Isaiah tells us in his prophecy, he told the people in his prophecy, "Behold, see, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, and his ear is not heavy, neither is it heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." They were living in disobedience in various ways, and the greatest of all the sins of which they were guilty was the sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief, as long as that sin remains, all the other sins are still laid to our charge. And where there is faith, then there is the forgiveness. Where there is repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is also the forgiveness of sins, and he blots out all our transgressions as a thick cloud. But the prophet says to the Jews, and said to the Jews, in ancient times, in the days of Isaiah, some 850 years before the coming of the Redeemer, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. But the Gentiles were spoken of too by the prophet Isaiah. Christ is looking down upon the Gentiles, upon ourselves, upon our gatherings, upon our congregations, upon our meetings and assemblies and ordinances, and surely we are more privileged than ever the Jews were, because we have been granted teachers and preachers and ministers and missionaries and emissaries who have come to us with the word of life, warning us that we are guilty of sin and under God's wrath and curse by nature and by practice. We have brought down his displeasure upon us, and we have been warned to flee from the wrath to come, and shown the way of salvation by faith in Christ Jesus, and not requiring of us anything, and not requiring anything of us, for the gospel is free and without money and without price. Darkness, said the prophet, shall cover the people, and gross darkness. Darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. He is referring then and there in Isaiah chapter 60 to the Jewish church. The Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. He addresses them concerning their future prosperity and their spiritual revival. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. And we have come to the light of the Jews. Surely, when we read in Isaiah and other prophets on the wonderful things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, his atoning death and his resurrection, and this report, he is despised and rejected of men, the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid us and put our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. And we see there the fulfillment of all that was promised concerning Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. But all we, said the prophet, like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And how fearful a thing to see Christ bearing the punishment of sin, and being an all-sufficient Saviour for every soul who will cleave to him and come to seek him in the day of mercy. They that seek him early shall find him, and he will not turn away the sinner returning to him from the ways of iniquity and the ways of the world. He is calling upon you and me to believe in his name, and great and glorious promises are made concerning the Church of Christ. Enlarge the place of thy tent, he said to the Jews, the Jewish Church, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. So the Jews in ancient times were looking forward to these promises being fulfilled. And when the whole earth should hear the sound of the way of salvation, and so it has been and so it shall be, even more so in the future, the Jews will enlarge the place of their tent when they come to Christ, and they shall comprehend all who will come to him, him that cometh unto me, he He says, I'm in no wise cast out. He will in no wise cast out. Go Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Instead of Jerusalem responding positively and favorably and with heartfelt and sincere desire for that forgiveness that there is with him, they responded by killing the prophets and stoning them that were sent unto them. They responded by killing the prophets. And surely the greatest of all the prophets who was killed in Jerusalem was Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. They nailed him to a cross of wood and cried out against him that he should die and that he should perish. And they refused to accept him and deny his kingship, which Pilate emphasized and nailed to the cross, that this indeed was the King of the Jews, which they did not want to hear, did not want to see, because they were so full of enmity and hatred. And mankind has that enmity in his heart. We all have it. We all have this enmity in our hearts. Some of the churches, the Roman Catholics and some of the Orthodox churches, call the Jews Christ killers. And they don't see, as we're hearing today, I think the text was mentioned, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. They shall look upon him whom they have pierced, and mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. And that is a reference, firstly, to the salvation of the Jews, but it is the experience of every believing soul that when we come to realize our guilt and sin and have the Lamb of God set before us as the propitiation for our sins, we look upon him whom we have pierced. And the psalmist cried in Psalm 51, against thee the only have I sinned. In thy sight done this ill, that when thou speakest thou mayest be just and clear in judging still. The Orthodox, the Roman Catholics, the Greek Orthodox, the Russian Orthodox, the Armenian Orthodox, and all these kinds of churches, these hierarchical churches, have this wrong disposition in many cases towards Jewish people and call them Christ killers. But we are all of us guilty, and the guilt of sins. If a person comes to forgiveness of sins, then surely our sins were laid upon Christ Jesus on the cursed tree of Calvary, which he bore away in his love. We are guilty of crucifying him and piercing him. And it is because of sin, the sins of all his people, and all who come to believe in him, that he was so dealt with and so became the scapegoat and the Lamb of God, propitiation for sin. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee. This was the common reception that prophets were given. And there are examples in various parts of Scripture. Jeremiah was cast into the stocks, put into the stocks, and he was abused, and he was imprisoned, and he was cast into a pit. All the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the minor prophets also lived in those times. They were despised, and they were ill-treated, and it was true concerning them that they were abused, even though they had been sent by God in his mercy and loving kindness to express the need that they had of being brought to repentance unto life, not to be repented of. And Jesus here mentions these things. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, what folly you have been guilty of. What darkness, what madness. And what about ourselves? We come to a dying hour. And we come to our grave. And we may not be far from the grave, every one of us. We don't know. Some of us nearer than others. But soon we shall all be there in the dust. Dust we are, to dust we shall return. Our bodies will turn to dust. The bones will appear. The flesh will perish and be reduced to the dust itself, and so will the bones in due course. Shall be no more as far as this world is concerned. And what use then will be all the acquisitions that we may have made, all the advancements, all the accolades, all the achievements that we have accomplished, all of these things as far as natural things are concerned. And when there was one thing needful for your soul on your way to eternity, to close in with the Lord Jesus Christ in the day of mercy, and to believe in his name, and to leave all and to follow him. And what will we say if we come to a dying hour and we have not got Christ, and we have no part in him? O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, O stone away, which refused the gospel, and refused Jesus Christ, and rejected his mercy, and made no serious business of soul salvation, and did not give heed to the voice of one that charmed you would. Would it not be a very solemn moment? And now we are called to look ahead and pray to be taught, teach us, to number our days we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Saying Moses, the man of God, he was feeling the need and the necessity of being brought to a sense of the nearness of eternity. And therefore he prayed, teach us. And we are called together to join together with him to pray this prayer, teach us to number our days. If you knew the days left to you on the ground of mercy, if you knew the exact number, you might say to yourself, well, what have I got to do? What is my great business, my great concern? What is the most important things? We are commonly used to prioritize. We put the most important things first, at the head of the list. And we attend to these things before others. And if we were to be given an intimation concerning the exact time of our sojourn remaining left to us, what would we do with the time? Would we not be thinking to ourselves, perhaps, now my time is limited, and I have a great business to accomplish. I have the master of my soul to be attended to, and to be born again, to be seeking Christ while he's near, and to embrace him, and to make my calling and election sure. Where do I stand? And how am I, in review of eternity? Where is the spiritual mind? And where is the heart opened to attend to spiritual things? And then we shall say to ourselves, surely we are foolish, and our hearts are hardened, and we have been led astray by the heart deceitful and desperate and wicked, and by the world's temptation. The broad way leads down to destruction. This is the easy way. It's very easy to join with the company of the world in their festivities, in their pastimes, in their sentiments, in their language, in all their lives. It's so easy. And we naturally flow and we go with the multitude and to stand out and be called out and to enter into the straight gate and narrow way is not an easy matter. Although the salvation of God is not onerous, we are called to do nothing but to believe. Believe, only believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What does it mean? Have we been attending to that question as to what faith is and what it constitutes? Has Christ been revealed to us in his glory and beauty and loveliness and fullness, as he's been shown to us in his absolute suitability as a Saviour and as our Saviour and the Saviour of the world in all his person and work, having satisfied God's law and justice to the very fullest? How often would I have gathered thy children together? How often as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Think of what Christ may say in the day of judgment to souls who have been under the gospel of Christ, have been the recipients of good, sound teaching, clear messages and knowledge concerning the doctrine of his person and work, the doctrines of grace and work of the Holy Spirit, and the nature of the Word of God, a lamp to our feet, a lamp to our path, in which not one jot or tittle surpass, until all be fulfilled, and having our Bibles before us day by day, and what will be said to us. How often Christ says this, he's saying this to the Jews, how often will I have gathered thy children together? There were many opportunities, many times and seasons. And we are to focus on these words. There is much in the gambit, in the fullness of the doctrine of the scriptures, and the doctrines of God that are to be attended to. But here, we are called to attend to this. How often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings? He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye, O house of Israel, for why will ye die? Why will ye die? This is a great question. What reasons? And when we come to the end of days, and Christ is not ours, and we are dying, going down, and the lost eternity is before us, how solemn a day that will be, and how even more solemn it will be when the soul returns to God who gave it, and we hear the sentence, depart ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And Christ saying, Oh, Jerusalem, oh, stolen away, oh, sinner, how often will I have gathered you under my wings, under the shelter of my blood, but ye would not. There was no willingness. Surely it ought to be our prayer at a communion season at this time. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Give me grace, give me light, give me understanding. Make me willing in the day of thy power to go after thee. And surely we may then demonstrate with ourselves concerning our hardness. Why are we like this? We may say it is because of our nature. But this is no reason to sit back, and no reason to rest, and no reason to be complacent, but rather we are called here in verse 24, strive to enter in at the straight gate, to enter into the way of life. Christ Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him. Strive to enter into the straight gate. He is the gate. This is the gate of God, where the just shall enter in. The way is narrow, I am the way. We may walk with him and call upon his name to uphold us and to keep us. And all the fears and all the doubts shall be dispelled. And God shall bring his people as the third part through the fire and bring them at last into his heavenly kingdom. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. And you know some, perhaps you know in your own families, and perhaps in our own experience, and there were times when things became more serious spiritually, and perhaps we came close, and were under concern for a season, and had some anxiety, and felt something of the power of indwelling sin and guilt, and then drifted back. And then again another time came, when we were more concerned, and we began to read the scriptures more carefully, and then again we drifted back into the world. And this may happen, and may have happened time and time again. We may say that such times and seasons, Christ is drawing near to souls, and surely we ought to give heed to his voice. How often when I've gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not take and receive the shelter of the blood of Jesus Christ, and the forgiveness of sins, and the mercy and the loving kindness of God. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Soon times shall be no more, and the opportunities for repentance and belief and faith will be gone. And then it will be said to many, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. May God bless his word and his prayer.
For us and thy servant, who is set over this congregation, that thou would uphold him in his physical needs and spiritual needs, and enable him to preach Christ crucified and to labour faithfully as he has been doing for many years to come. We pray for his family also, and thy servant who is with us from another part of the country. We pray for thy blessing upon thy cause and kingdom, and upon us as a branch of thy church. Keep us faithful and keep us humble. Help us to walk humbly before thee. Grant us that broken spirit and contrite heart, which is a sacrifice well-pleasing unto God. And be with us in the rest of the duties tomorrow, on the day of thanksgiving, and in the prayer meeting afterwards. And forgive all our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen.